Hey everyone, welcome to another brand new episode of the show. So if you've been listening to the show, you know that on each episode I talk to people about their favorite movies. So I think it's time I talk about my all-time favorite movie. So let's get right into it. I'm Joe and this is Hold My DVD, my favorite movie of all time. It's always difficult to choose just one movie because there are so many great ones that you absolutely love, and it's difficult to choose one over the other. But with this one, I don't think any movie fascinated and entertained me in the way this movie did. For me, this movie is a masterpiece. It's one of those movies I can watch again and again and again and still find new things that I missed before. It's one of those movies that I wish I could watch again for the first time, and preferably in a theater. It's none other than The Dark Knight. So at this point, you are either disappointed or you're interested. Either way, I think it's important to listen to this episode in its entirety to understand what distinguishes a good movie from a great movie and why people consider The Dark Knight to be one of the greatest movies of all time. Now, that's not just my opinion. If you look up any listicles of the greatest movies ever made, it's very likely that you'll see The Dark Knight in there. So, now, if you haven't watched this movie, you should stop listening now, because there are going to be major spoilers in this episode. So, go watch the movie and come back when you're done. So, The Dark Knight, as you know, is the second installment of the Batman trilogy, directed by the one and only Christopher Nolan. Now to the question of the hour. Why is The Dark Knight considered as the best superhero movie of all time and one of the best movies ever made? So it's not a simple answer. There are a lot of things, there are a lot of aspects about The Dark Knight that makes it one of the greatest of all time. So let's start with the most obvious ones. First off, the plot. So The Dark Knight explores the themes of justice, morality, and chaos. Batman is trying to fight the mob with the help of Gordon, who is a city police commissioner, and the new district attorney, Harvey Dent. Batman is hopeful that Dent could take his place because he sees that Dent is the actual hero of Gotham, a legitimate hero who is not a vigilante, who doesn't have to hide behind a mask, but still can fight against corruption and lock up the criminals in a legitimate way. So Batman sees Harvey Dent as the future of Gotham, and he finally believes that there's a chance that he could give up his role of this vigilante. He could give up Batman and Harvey Dent could take over as the hero. Not as Batman, but as the hero for Gotham City. But that's where Joker comes in. So Batman has been hearing about Joker for a while now, because we see that towards the end of Batman Begins, Gordon introduces Joker as an example of escalation that happens as a result of Batman's actions. And what an escalation it was. So Joker is undoubtedly the best villain I've ever seen on screen. I'm not talking about the acting, like, although we all know that Heath Ledger put up an unforgettable performance and made Joker one of the key reasons behind the success of the movie. But I'm talking about the character. So Joker is a criminal mastermind, and to borrow Alfred's lines from the movie, so he's a man who is not looking for anything logical like money. They can't be bought, bullied, reasoned, or negotiated with. Some men just want to watch the world burn. And throughout the movie, we see that Joker is always ahead of Batman, and just like Alfred says, he can't be reasoned with. There's nothing that you can threaten Joker with, and you don't know his motive, so you have no control, you have no power over him. And Batman's fight with Joker is not just a physical one, although there are plenty of good fight instances over there, but it's a battle of ideologies. So Joker, throughout the movie, continually forces Batman, Commissioner Gordon, and Harvey Dent to make impossible moral decisions that kind of test the codes of honor that each of them stick to. So we see that when Batman has to choose between showing his face to the public or just letting people die. Like, in the beginning, Batman was hesitant for that, but it was getting, the madness was too much and he tried to give in. We all know how that went. And we see this recurring theme of having to make a difficult decision throughout the movie. And Joker puts Batman continuously in a place where he has to make these very difficult decisions. The second obvious fact that makes the movie great is the acting. Like, when it comes to acting, like, we need to talk about how incredible Heath Ledger was. So Heath Ledger as Joker steals every scene he is in. So Heath Ledger's version of Joker is chaotic, unpredictable, and utterly terrifying, and nothing short of iconic. So Heath Ledger delivered a Joker that was quite different from earlier adaptations of the character. Because if you see earlier adaptations played by Jack Nicholson, this is very different. This version of Joker is something darker, something truly unhinged. Previous Jokers were a little more lighthearted, a little more childish, while Ledger's Joker is anything but childish. He's insane, he's untamable, he's unpredictable, and you truly never know what he's going to do next. He serves as this perfect contrast to Bale's Batman, who is all about planning and making things go his way. All the terror he causes is plausible, like it could happen, like from blowing up hospitals to putting citizens of Gotham in impossible situations. Like, again, this theme of giving choice, and it's not just to Batman and or Harvey Dent or Jim Gordon. He gives these choices to people as well, and it just makes it all more terrifying. He set a different level of standard for comic book villains. So let's just Joker is not only the best Joker, but it could be the best comic book villain of all time, period. And even though Joker stole the spotlight, the rest of the cast should also be appreciated for their incredible performances. For example, Christian Bale as Batman, Bruce Wayne. His performance is subtle. Like, he delivers a lot with his eyes and through his body language. Like, he perfectly embodies Batman, who no longer sees himself as Bruce Wayne. You know what I mean? So, Batman is the mask he puts on, and that has become his real identity. And Bruce Wayne is the mask. So this is very clear in one of the conversations between Alfred and Bruce. So if you remember, the lines goes like this. Like, Alfred says, "Know your limits, Master Wayne." And to which Bruce replies with, "Batman has no limits." Which clearly shows that Batman is not just a symbol or suit that he puts on. Batman has become his identity. In fact, it's gotten the point that people close to him can see that clearly. For example, later we see that in the letter that Rachel leaves for Bruce, which he never reads, she says this: "When I told you that if the day comes when Gotham no longer needs Batman, we could be together, I meant it. But now I'm sure the day won't come when you no longer need Batman." Which clearly shows that Batman is the identity through which Bruce overcomes his traumatic past and how he gets over his empty, lonely life. This line clearly indicates that people around him can also sense that he has become Batman in a way, not just as a mask, but his identity has transformed into that of Batman. And Christian Bale conveys all of this nuances through his subtle and underrated performance. And same goes for Aaron Eckhart as Harvey Dent and Gary Oldman as Commissioner Gordon. And we've seen Gary Oldman do his thing in Batman Begins. Like, he's an incredible actor. But Aaron Eckhart, not sure if I'm pronouncing his name right. I hope I am. Aaron Eckhart as Dent in the first half and Two-Face in the second is nothing short of incredible. Like, he puts on an equally excellent performance as Dent and Two-Face. And that makes it all the more terrifying, because he goes from this golden boy who is the face of Gotham, who is the future of Gotham, to this terrifying, violent criminal. And that transformation, we see that transformation in front of our eyes, and that's not something that we see coming when we're watching the movie for the first time. So it makes it all the more terrifying.
And the other aspect of what makes The Dark Knight great is the vision of the director, Christopher Nolan. Like, he took an ordinary superhero and made it something epic, realistic, and again, nothing short of iconic. The movie is packed with details. Like, each line by all the major characters contributes immensely to the movie. Like, sometimes the lines are revealing, sometimes it's foreshadowing, and The Dark Knight has some of the best writing I've seen in a superhero movie. And no wonder the lines have had a cult following over the years, especially the lines delivered by Joker, beginning with "Why so serious?" Like, all the lines of Joker are so good, and it's so iconic, and it makes more sense as time passes by. Like, at least that's the case for me. We need to talk about the perfectly choreographed non-CGI action sequences. Like, they contribute immensely to the narrative, and it's at the epic scale. And the music, the incredible soundtrack by Hans Zimmer, like, all of these take Dark Knight into a whole different level. Now, let's talk about the themes and ideas that the movie explores. First, the nature of heroism and the origin of a villain. Before that, let's try to understand what makes a hero and what makes a villain. So traditionally, a hero is someone who goes through a terrible incident that's inflicted upon them by external forces, for example, society, and comes out of that incident as a more empathetic person who is not looking for revenge, who is courageous, and he understands the pain, and he wants to make sure that nobody wants to go through what he went through. Whereas a villain is the exact opposite. Villain is someone who goes through a similar incident and comes out resentful and full of vengeance. He seeks revenge and aims to make himself better by inflicting pain upon others. This is the hero and villain in a traditional sense. So we see this play out in Dark Knight. Like, Harvey Dent was incorruptible in the beginning. He was the face of Gotham. He was face of Gotham's stand against corruption, against organized crime. But once Joker puts him through a hard time, he breaks. And it was quite a hard time. He lost his loved one. And Joker pushed Dent to the extreme, and the worst version of Dent came out. So, and Joker, being a brilliant manipulator, turns Dent into a violent criminal with no empathy. But an interesting fact is that Harvey Dent already had the nickname Two-Face long before he suffered these physical injuries, long before he went through trauma. And that's probably, and it isn't says clearly why that's the case in the movie, but it could be because of his hypocritic nature. We are shown glimpses of how hypocritic his actions are, how hypocrite of a person he is. He acts in a way, but he does things in other way. Or in other words, like, he doesn't always stay true to his words. And Joker, being a brilliant manipulator, he sees that Dent, if pushed enough, would turn and become a villain. Like, to borrow Joker's lines, like, madness is like gravity, all it takes is a little push. So that's the idea. This is not just exclusive to Dark Knight. This is a common theme across all hero, villain. It's common across all narratives where a hero is involved. So the theme is this: when you fight evil, be careful that you do not become evil yourself. But unfortunately for Dent, he embodies that theme. He fights evil, and in the process, he becomes evil himself. And we see that Dent goes on a killing spree, trying to get revenge on all those involved in that incident that killed Rachel. And Batman had to step up and take the fall for all the actions done by Dent. And here's another aspect of Dark Knight. It shows that it shows a hero who can fail. Like, we see Batman failing multiple times in the movie. Like, in a way, Dark Knight is about the fall of hero from the grace. So if you look at the entire trilogy, if you look at the entire Batman trilogy, Batman Begins is about, you know, beginning, the origin of the superhero. And The Dark Knight is about falling, his fall from grace. And Dark Knight Rises is about the rise of the hero. So Batman fails multiple times throughout the movie. Like, initially he believed that criminals aren't complicated and that Batman had no limits. He says that to Alfred, that he has no limits. But he only realized that he was completely wrong about both. He had to make impossible moral decisions and came front and center with his worst fear, that is, losing his loved ones again. Because we already see in Batman Begins that he lost his loved ones, his mom and dad. That trauma has followed him throughout his life, and it's that trauma that he turns into motivation and how he is trying to help others by becoming a symbol of hope, that is Batman. So we see that he is forced to face his fear again. And as we saw at one point, he had to choose between Rachel or Harvey, that is the future of Gotham or his personal happiness. So even though he chose personal happiness and tried to save Rachel, Joker had different plans because he gives the wrong address to Batman. But in the end, it doesn't matter, because Batman failed to save both Harvey and Rachel. And that made him make the impossible choice in the end to step up and become something more than a hero, a Dark Knight. And that brings us to the next aspect of what makes Dark Knight so great, is the ending of the movie, how the movie ended. So usually, in fact, in almost all the superhero movies before Dark Knight, in the end, superhero saves the day and all ends well and everybody is happy and everyone loves his hero. So that's how usually superhero movies end. So although in The Dark Knight, Batman still saves the day, it doesn't end on a good note. Batman realizes that being a hero isn't enough to save the people of Gotham. He need to be more than a hero. Batman is vilified throughout Gotham, the city, never really knowing who truly saved them. And since the public never witnessed transformation into Two-Face, Dent remains the White Knight of Gotham and people are sent into an era of peace. But Batman is the man behind the scenes and, like the movie says, a silent guardian, a watchful protector, a Dark Knight. Batman saved the city, but he couldn't save himself. He took blame for something that he didn't do. He took the fall, he took the blame because he knew that that's what needed for the city to survive. And again, I go back to the line from the end of the movie. Sometimes the truth isn't good enough. Sometimes people deserve to have their faith rewarded. So it's not a typical ending, especially not for a superhero movie. And that's what it made so incredible. Again, to borrow the lines of Harvey Dent, you either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. Batman isn't a hero in the traditional sense at the end of the movie. He simply did what he needed to do, but that made him a true hero. Now, I want to talk about one aspect of Dark Knight that makes it so great, but no one seems to notice. It's the genre alchemy. So I didn't have a clue about this until I came across this answer on Quora. So people were answering the question, why is The Dark Knight so good? And everyone was talking about the story, the acting, the direction, blah, blah, blah. Basically, all the things that we've been talking so far. So, but this person had an interesting answer. He said that the movie is so fascinating and entertaining because of genre alchemy. Let me explain. So alchemy is the process of transforming or combining different things to form something new. And it's not just any process. It's done so well in a way that it almost seems magical. Now, The Dark Knight works in two very distinct genres. The first one is pretty obvious. It's the superhero movie. The second one is what Nolan called the crime epic. So gangster movies are a typical example of this genre. And this combination between superhero movie and a crime epic turned out to be a perfect alchemy. So why was it so perfect? Because this alchemy not only focused on everything that is great about both genres, but by putting these two distinct genres together, it actually eliminated the flaws in both genres. So superhero movies in general are very exciting and entertaining. Like, people in costumes go around causing trouble and stopping trouble and huge action sequences and they save the world. It's great. It's very entertaining. But the problem with superhero movies is that they don't feel real. Like, they're not grounded and they wouldn't really happen. Like, you're not going to get attacked tomorrow by aliens and you can't shoot laser beams out of your eyes. That doesn't make sense. And you can't just save the world. Like, that doesn't feel real. Crime epics, on the other hand, are extremely grounded, gritty, and real. Like, they can be exciting too. Like, for example, Goodfellas. It's a very exciting movie, even though it's a crime epic. The problem usually is that crime epics are generally joyless. Like, they're very dark, they're very gritty, and sometimes they're very depressing, and they can be hard to get through. For example, The Godfather. Godfather is undoubtedly one of the greatest movies ever made, but it can be a little hard to get through the 3.5 hours of Godfather. The alchemy of The Dark Knight is that it gave us the entertainment of a bat-suited hero and a crazy clown villain and all the grounded, gritty realism of a typical city ravaged by terrifying levels of crime. And you can't deny the fact that The Dark Knight, despite being a superhero movie, feels so real. There is nothing supernatural about anything in the movie. From Batman's flawed suit that makes him vulnerable to gunfire and knives, to his sonar machine that with which he can map the entire city of Gotham. Everything has a logical explanation. And from flipping an 18-wheeler truck to blowing up a hospital, we feel that these things could really happen. And when that is combined with the superhero genre, the results are far better than any superhero movie and far better than any crime epic. Because put together, these genres solved each other's flaws. And thus, we got to see arguably one of the best movies of all time. By the way, did you know that Nolan took inspiration from many movies? For example, Michael Mann's 1998 thriller Heat, starring Al Pacino and Robert De Niro, and Stanley Kubrick's A Clockwork Orange. I don't remember which year that was released. So apparently, the dynamic between Pacino and De Niro in Heat inspired Nolan, and you can see that in the dynamic between Batman and Joker. And also, Joker's facial expressions were inspired from the character played by Malcolm McDowell in Clockwork Orange. And yeah, that's it. That's some of the many reasons why I think The Dark Knight is the best and why it's my all-time favorite movie. There are plenty more themes the movie explores, such as morality, code, ethics, among others. But I think this gives enough reasons to justify my argument for The Dark Knight. Hope you have enjoyed this episode. If you would like me to do episodes like these, focusing on a movie in detail, just let me know on Instagram and we'll get it sorted. I'm Joe. This is Hold My DVD. And I'll see you in the next one.